From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you once again. It's good to have you with us. We do appreciate you taking the time to include Let the Bible Speak in your day. I hope the Lord will have a word for you today. In a few minutes, we'll be continuing with the second segment of our first study in the subject Themes in Titus. This first study is dealing with the faith of God's elect, and as I say, we'll be turning back to that in just a few minutes. But first, it's time for our daily devotional Bible study and thought for the day. From the book of Proverbs 1, verse 18, caught in our own ambush. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Despite the fact that many adolescents hold views to the contrary, fathers do know more than their sons on the general affairs of life. Solomon demonstrates a knowledge of the enticements that the young will invariably encounter from the wicked of this world. He is even able to quote them in verse 11. The language of temptation doesn't alter with the years, neither does the Christian's response. Verse 15 commands, "Walk not thou with them." David, Solomon's father, had issued the same advice a generation before in the opening lyrics of the Psalter. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Such counsel is not based upon Christian ethics alone, though that's sufficient reason for us to avoid sin. No, Solomon's plea to his son was also based on the practical consideration that sin brings its own judgment. In words that may well be paraphrased by the familiar declaration, "They will come to a bad end," Solomon declares, "They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives." There's no more risky life than that of the man or woman who lives in defiance of God. It has been rightly observed that such persons shall not live out half their days, as Psalm 55:23 puts it. Sin is a time bomb ticking away. Those who embrace it have no way of knowing when it will destroy them. Paul urged Timothy, "Flee youthful lusts." Be assured, sin will destroy those who do not keep their distance from it. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 15 of his epistle, "Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Let us pray the prayer of Jabez over and over in our hearts. "Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. And our thought for the day comes from a great American preacher, Dr. Talmage. "O Lord, help us to hear the serpent's rattle before we feel its fangs."
Thank you.
Here at Let the Bible Speak, we try to make available to you some resources that we hope will better equip you to stand for the Lord and serve Him. Many of you are well aware of the materials that we try to keep constantly available. At times, however, there are special offers that we think you should hear about, and I want to make a very important resource available to you today. Recently, the World Council of Churches, that is a body that exists to promote one world church, is a very apostate body, but it operates under the name of Christianity. It held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil, and the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a Bible-believing association of separated churches, the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, Dr. Ralph Colas, was in Brazil to report on the World Council of Churches meeting. His report makes startling reading as he lifts the veil from the utter apostasy of the ecumenical movement. We would like you to receive Dr. Colas's report. And so we ask you to write, call, or email and let us know that you'd like to have it, and we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to sending you Dr. Colas's expose of the apostasy of the World Council of Churches.
Far above all is our Savior enthroned. Crowned is the Lamb who for sinners atoned, living forever to list to our call. God hath exalted him far above all. Far above all, far above all, Jesus the crucified, far above all. Lo, at his footstool adoring we fall. God hath exalted him far above all. When the fierce tempest uplifting its waves seeks to engulf us, we cry and he saves. Looking to Jesus, upheld by his hand, tread we the billows as safe as on land. Far above all, far above all, Jesus the crucified, far above all. Lo, at his footstool adoring we fall. God hath exalted him far above all. High are the cities that dare our assault. Strong are the barriers that call us to halt. March we on fearless, and down they must fall. Vanquished by faith in Him far above all. His is the kingdom from pole unto pole. Far above all, while the ages shall roll, with Him the victors who followed His call share in His royalty far above all. Far above all, far above all, Jesus the crucified, far above all. Low at His footstool adoring we fall. God hath exalted Him far above all.
Continuing our study of the faith of God's elect from Titus 1 verse 1, we pick up where we left off yesterday. Having depicted the state of Cretan society and the threat that it posed to the purity of the fledgling church in Crete, we note that Paul told Titus to go and stabilize the situation by ordaining elders as men of unimpeachable character. That was Titus's immediate job, and as we shall now see, it was not an easy one.
It was a big task that young Titus had, and Paul knew that he was going to run right into a brick wall of determined opposition. And knowing that, he realized that there was only one thing that was going to give Titus the ear of the people, and that would be the assurance that in truth he was there with the authority, the divinely given authority of an apostle. And that's why Paul commenced the epistle with these striking words. You may think it strange that he would introduce himself to one of his best friends like this. What need of such an introduction? When you look at this, this is one of the longest introductions in the New Testament. There's only one or two introductions of greater length than this. So why would he need to do this to one of his most personal and intimate friends? Well, the truth is, this was more for the consumption of others than it was for Titus. And so he starts off saying, I am an apostle according to the faith of God's elect. Now what that means is made clear by what follows, where he says, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Their acknowledgement, as the Greek text would indicate, their acknowledgement or their recognition of the truth is the equivalent to the faith of God's elect. In other words, what Paul is saying, I am an apostle according to, that's a very common little preposition that's actually very difficult at many times to translate. And here it would mean, I believe, that it's in the interests of the faith of God's elect. I am an apostle, says Paul, to bring God's elect to the faith, to believing, or to acknowledge the truth that is according to godliness. You see, Paul was right at the very beginning insisting that faith is more than simply saying, oh yes, I believe, I give my assent to that. I acknowledge with my head or with my words the truth of that
proposition of that statement. That's part of faith. But Paul is going a whole lot further. And he's saying, there is a faith here which leads to such an acknowledgement, such a recognition of the truth of the gospel as profoundly changes the life and leads God's elect into true godliness. Now Paul says, I'm an apostle and my calling is to lead God's elect to the faith. You'll see immediately what he's claiming here. He's saying, in effect, if that's the truth, and it is, then only the reprobate would reject the message that I'm sending. The apostles never, for a moment, showed the mealy-mouthed. I don't know where that expression came from, but I think it's very descriptive. The mealy-mouthed pansies that have come to occupy the Christian pulpit, who are afraid to speak up or speak out for God. Paul was not afraid. Neither was the Apostle John. He said, for example, in 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Paul is saying anybody among God's elect will be led to faith and blessing, obedience and godliness through this ministry. And if you don't like it and you don't accept it, you are simply branding yourself as reprobate and not elect. That's the claim that he's making. And that's the force behind this expression, the faith of God's elect. I suppose you could simply say that it is their belief in and their reception of the truth of the gospel. I want us to think of this expression tonight and the great doctrine that it teaches, that there is a body of truth that God has revealed and that is received by all his elect to the saving of their souls. There is a body of truth revealed by God and received by his elect to the saving of their souls. I will make only two basic points. One, we deal with the essential truths of the gospel. In many ways, Paul is here referring to a body of Christian doctrine that is necessary to salvation. There are certain truths that are so fundamental, that are so essential, that you can't be saved without knowing them and without receiving them. In this epistle, for example, Paul lays great emphasis on sound doctrine. Look at chapter 1 and verse 9. Where he says, holding fast the faithful word. If you were to get a word-for-word translation of what he wrote, it would say simply, holding to the faith of the word according to the doctrine. Holding to the faith of the word according to the doctrine. Then look at what he says again. As he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. He mentions this a number of times in the verses that follow. For example, in verse 13 he speaks of those who are sound in the faith. In chapter 2, verse 1, sound doctrine. Again, verse 2, sound in the faith. You turn over to this epistle and you find that the whole emphasis is upon people getting a grip of sound doctrine and living by it. This word sound, actually a couple of words that are very closely related, but the idea probably is best seen if I remind you this is the word that gives us the English word hygiene. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about something that's healthy. Something that's wholesome. What he's making out here is the gospel that we preach is not the diseased opinion of man. The gospel is the pure and wholesome revelation of God. And on the contrary, what Paul is saying, of course, is that what others are preaching, what the opponents of the gospel are preaching, is diseased. It's unhealthy. It's deadly. You remember Peter called it damnable heresy or destructive heresy. You see, pureness of doctrine is something important. We live in a day when doctrine is played down. Don't talk too much about distinctive doctrine. It's how people live that matters. But let's understand this. Ideas, you've heard the statement, ideas have consequences. What is preached will have a consequence. I think of a body of Christians, very influential at a time in Britain and much further afield, that deliberately adopted a theology of antinomianism. That we owe nothing to the law of God. That the law of God is not in any way, shape or form or to any degree a standard of Christian obedience or Christian living. Now that idea has a consequence. At the beginning, when it was stated, the reason for the statement of it was a faithful and true, though misguided, desire to expound what they took to be truth. They missed the truth. But it was not because they wanted to go out and get into wickedness and sin. But as they kept on preaching that sort of drivel, it wasn't very long before the people under them were infected with the very vilest of sin. Ideas do have consequences. False doctrine is damnable and it is destructive. It will destroy your soul. It will destroy your family, your children. It will take them as lambs out of a flock the way a bear would take them, and it will destroy them. Only the gospel is pure and wholesome and health-giving. So Paul is emphasizing the body of Christian doctrine that's absolutely essential to the saving of souls and to the good of men and women. Now he doesn't go down the list and say, here's the list of the fundamentals. Sometimes we wish that he had done that. It would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? But he doesn't do that. Rather, he, in this epistle, dwells on the basic themes of the gospel. God, grace, godliness, and glory. Those are the four great themes that he here expounds as the fundamentals of the faith of God's elect.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.